All right, so here we are. We got Scott here again, another episode of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, and we have another special guest joining us. So today we have Dan Holm that said he'd spend a few minutes with us, hang out with us, and talk a little bit to us about kind of something a little different. I mean, typically we do cloud stuff. Today we're going to go like start way back at the beginning and kind of talk through the evolution of SharePoint.
Great.
Yeah, Scott and I both got our start in SharePoint. So we've been doing SharePoint. I've been doing it for 10 years. You've been doing it for
a while. I have a lot of gray hair.
Yeah.
At least you still have hair.
It absolutely comes through on the podcast. So I think it'd be great to have a conversation around the transformation of SharePoint and how it's come along from a traditional document storage platform and portal services to integrating Microsoft Content Management Server and being CMS and content management, or even enterprise content management. Like,
yep.
We were doing ECM for a while and talking about those constructs. We've been a data storage platform with lists and libraries and gladly store your documents with us. We can scale and we can do all those things. And I think one of the great messages is, especially from a customer side, is SharePoint's a content delivery system and a content delivery network to go ahead and surface data and push it out for everybody. So regardless of where your content is stored, if it is in your OneDrive, or we have a conversation in Yammer or an RSS feed, or I have a business process that runs in an external system with maybe Salesforce, and I've authored a component in a API driven with SharePoint framework or provider hosted app, putting that all in one place and really centralizing it and centralizing delivery of that data to users. I think there's just a great story there to kind of walk through.
I think so too. Yeah, I think SharePoint pages these days are a wonderful canvas for users to be creative and to pull content from all kinds of sources, like you were saying, and to really mash them up. Some people will call it a dashboard, some will call it a portal. I just call it a mashup, right? It's taking advantage of the dozens and dozens of web parts we have, and we announced lots this week, and really giving me a way to put together what my group, whether it's a small group or whether it's an entire organization, needs to see in one place.
Awesome. Yeah, we talk about in Cloudland a lot adjacent capabilities or kind of complementary services, mm-hmm. and being able to pull all that together. So it's great to see the ability to do something and take a page and go ahead and leverage those components, right? So I need it to be responsive and pretty and render on multiple devices anytime, anywhere, any
exactly.
device, go through and do all those things. But really, I have to deliver business value too. So it has to be part of a process-driven thing, or maybe I'm telling a story within an organization to surface some things and get some data out there.
Yep. Yeah, I think the I was just talking with a customer about something very similar to this, which is they're trying to pull data from a number of third-party services, some internal, some external, and they had been spending a lot of time trying to heavy code these solutions that would then render well on mobile. And one of the amazing things about the modern SharePoint is the SharePoint framework, where if you build a web part or a page or even an entire site with SharePoint framework, it will render in mobile. We take care of that for you. It's so hard to find really talented mobile developers that that we're sort of taking that heavy lifting from the customer and saying, we'll take care of making sure it renders beautifully on a giant 4K monitor or on the tiniest screen in your pocket or on a HoloLens or AR VR device. We'll take care of all that for you. All you have to do is build a web part that meets your business needs.
Yeah, you've provided a framework and a canvas, which is
exactly
great. It's a nice contract with developers and designers to be able to go and set those things out there and have them in place. And then based on some of the announcements this week, there's also some enablement to continue that driving. So there's some new site types with hub sites coming out, being able to do better aggregations. There seem to be some announcements too around pages and even be able to make copies of existing pages and start to drive through some more thematic experiences, right? And being able to leverage existing work and kind of workloads. Can you kind of speak to that and where that's being driven from a customer side to push those things forward?
Yeah, sure. Let's start with the pages. We already had been sort of talking about parts and pulling in content that's dynamic and rich and creating this beautiful page that renders across devices and mobile. Pages, of course, live in the context of a site. And so SharePoint sites allow you to share pages, and therefore, whether it's news or policies or announcements or information, along with files and lists. And we've enabled over the last 18 months as business users to create sites for their own needs, to make it very fast and easy for a user to go to SharePoint Home, click Create Site, create a team site connected to an Office 365 group to support collaboration, or create a communication site to really communicate across a broader part of their organization. And one of the challenges with that democratization of that capability, one of the challenges of actually making it easy so you can create a SharePoint site without a PhD in SharePoint, is now organizations, the feedback we hear is organizations say, well, now we've got more and more and more sites. And granted, they're beautiful and they're achieving business needs, but there's a lot of them. And how do we organize them and group them together in logical ways? And so one of the announcements you were alluding to was Hub Sites, which are a new capability in SharePoint coming out at the beginning of 2018 that will allow you to take to create a center of gravity, to create a hub site that you can associate other sites with. And by doing that, the hub site defines look and feel, so they all inherit navigation, theme, and logo, so they feel like a coherent whole. As I mentioned, look and feel and navigation. Also defines a search scope, so that if you have a set of sites that are associated, someone can search from the hub site and search, therefore, across all associated sites. And then the hub can roll up activity and news from the associated sites. So if you think about a sales organization with lots of regional sales teams, each sales team can have its own site doing its work. But then the sales hub can associate all those sites, roll up news, so you can go to one place and find out what the big wins in the company were, one place to find out what you need to do as a salesperson, not just as a salesperson in Orlando. And even more than all of that, I think the thing that customers are really cluing into better than I thought they would, faster than I thought they would, is the fact that these are dynamic. That if your company reorganizes, which of course happens all the time at Microsoft and a lot of other companies, you can reassociate sites. So site A that's associated with site B today can be associated with site C tomorrow. And it just makes it allows your internet to be as dynamic as most organizations are these days.
Yeah, I love that. So I've had a bunch of customers, and again, doing SharePoint for so long, everybody in the past always tries to build up that hierarchy. They have the top level site, and then they have subsites and subsites and subsites. And even with what you guys have done with the sites and the landing page where you could favorite, follow certain sites and others, it seems like the whole concept is to get rid of the hierarchy and just have sites that you can, like you said, pull together in those groups, those hub sites.
Right.
So it's a very flat structure within SharePoint with just all these different parts pulled together.
It is definitely flat and associative as opposed to hierarchical and deep. And that's a real mind shift for a lot of organizations because they thought, in order to get people where they need to go, we need to give them this path to follow and it has to look like this, which is very rigid and difficult to reorganize. And now with the flexibility that the cloud offers, you can push links to people, a user can intentionally follow a site, or you can use intelligence in the graph to surface things that may be interesting to a user without them even knowing it ever existed before. And that's, I think, in the end, a much more user-centric way of approaching technology. They can see what their organization wants them to see. They can intentionally choose to follow the things that help them get their job done. And then they can find things that will help them get their job done that they didn't know existed.
Yeah, it's great to see things become actionable over time. So we tend to be very reactive. And so now I have to browse to the site and I need to read it. And it's up to me to know what's going on there. But with technologies like the graph and search and even some of the announcements around mobile. So now we have alerting in SharePoint Mobile, right?
Cool?
For team news and documents and new approval flows in Microsoft Flow to go ahead and really start to bring things to the center for individual, some of those kind of frontline workers and pushing that information out there, which, again, I think is awesome. So, you mentioned intranets earlier and being able to get that stuff out there. I've worked in a lot of organizations where we have 100% adoption on our intranet because it's the homepage in IE for everything.
And that's not really a good measure of success.
It's not a great measure, right, when really all I needed to do was get to the HR site to get my benefits information so I could do open enrollment, which is coming up in the next month or two, things like that. So are there plans to continue that forward and kind of continue to drive the actionability of data and content that's in SharePoint?
Absolutely. That's a very insightful question. The answer is yes. Let me think about what I can tell you right now. We are very committed in SharePoint to further integration with Power Apps and Flow, which, of course, are a cross-Microsoft approach to, in the case of Flow, automating tasks, as well as connecting data sources. You know, people talk about flow a lot with workflow, but the other thing it's really great for is just getting data and information from one system to another. Mm-hmm. You know, well over 160 different third-party on-prem, as well as Microsoft systems. And then Power Apps for creating custom forms and mobile applications and basically what I call digital experiences. So we're very committed to that in SharePoint, and we've got plans for further integrating them into the core experiences of SharePoint, into SharePoint Mobile, and even across other Microsoft 365 canvases. So you're going to see some cool stuff, I would guess, even in the next 12 months. That will make your make it even easier for you to stay on top of work, to respond to things that are important, and to be informed.
That's great. So we talked about core experiences a little bit. Well, actually, you mentioned it, right? So one of those core experiences that had a bunch of updates as well was search.
Yes.
So beyond, you know, just, hey, let's put data in front of you.
Right.
Let's talk about findability and discoverability and pushing those things out. Can you just kind of bring everybody up to speed on what's, because there's so much going on there between Bing and everything that's going on that side, inclusion of new data in the graph, so being able to surface LinkedIn data,
right?
A little bit more context around business process and things that are going on there. And I think it's all great. So
it is amazing. And you use the word findability, which is my absolute favorite word, because that's the goal, right? The goal is to help a user find something. The goal isn't to have a user discover something. The goal is for a user to find something that's valuable and relevant to them. And that could be done with an intentional search, or it could be done with a very intelligent discovery experience. Both of those, to me, are findability. And the core announcement we have this week is really around the what we're doing with Microsoft Graph to create intelligent and personalized search experiences. So in the past, when you would go and search, whether it's on a commercial tool like Bing or Google, or whether it's even SharePoint, it was doing index matching, right? And that's great if the document you have just happens to have been ranked high enough with the words that you're searching for.
It has those magic words.
Exactly.
And it's in the ranking index, and the incantation has been properly said.
Yeah, exactly. And if the user really knows how to use parentheses and quotes and or, right? So what we've done now is we're relying on the intelligence in Graph to know, which is learning who you are, what you work on, who you work with, what they work on that you have access to, and starting to build an intelligent understanding of the context of your work. And so now when you search, wherever you search, so let's start with SharePoint Home. You go to SharePoint Home, you start searching, you're going to see results that are relevant to you, based on that understanding the graph. So even the moment you click in the search box, you don't even have to start typing. You just click in the search box, it starts giving you results. It's saying, I think Dan is going to be looking for these things. It could be things that I recently worked on, and it thinks Dan wants to get back to it. Or it might be things that are popular with people around me. They're trending. So, you know, a document that a lot of my team has put in, I probably need to put input into also. So I immediately start seeing results before I even start hitting the keyboard. Then as I start to search and as I execute a search, it's giving me those results with relevancy based on the intelligence of the graph. So what if you and I were to do searches, we'd have three separate sets of results. That set of results will be the same wherever we search. So SharePoint Home is getting a beautiful new design. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but it's extraordinary. Like, literally got applause in this session. It's beautiful. You get these really interactive results where you can preview the document right in line. It's no longer just a blue link. But it also works if you search from office.com, the new redesigned office.com, from the waffle in Office 365. And from your Windows taskbar, which is, of course, where lots of people search from, which means Cortana and all that stuff. And from the new announcement we made, which is the preview of Bing for Business, which is simply another way to search. And what it's bringing those same search results, but it's also bringing results from the internet. So if you're trying to do a really comprehensive search that includes both your internal content that might be stored in SharePoint as well as external stuff, this Bing for Business is a really compelling experience.
I've gone to a few of the sessions and looked at some of the Bing for Business stuff, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I love how you can go and search, and at the top you see like org charts, you can get people searches, you can get searches for content within your organization. Are there, and again, I don't know how much you can say here, are there plans to kind of continue to evolve that and kind of bring the SharePoint search and Bing for Business together? What does that kind of roadmap look like, or are those going to kind of tend to remain two separate products?
I mean, the really cool thing is, in a way, they are together already because they're all drawing from that same set of results in the Office Graph. So Bing is just a different context and a different canvas for search. It's, if I go to Bing, it's I'm giving an indication, a signal that I want not just internal but also external results. If I'm searching on a team site, the signal I'm giving is I'm probably looking for content in the scope of this team site. So those same sets of results will surface scoped to the context of my work. If I'm in Word and I go to the backstage, I'm going to see only Word documents. So the results are there, but the context of my work make sure that the results I get are as relevant as possible. So in a way, they are together already. There's certainly going to be more and more cohesion, we call it, across the different search surfaces. I'm a big fan of Bing for Business. We use it at Microsoft already. And there's times when it really is great to, when I'm not sure whether the result I'm going to get is better coming internally or externally.
Yeah, I love that. It drives intentional experiences. So I can go to SharePoint Home and immediately see SharePoint results. And maybe I know that and I recognize mm-hmm. that. Or I can go to office.com and the homepage there and mm-hmm. see results across my SharePoint sites and my OneDrive and my mailbox. Hidden gem, by the way. Users don't know
that
thing's even there. We used to do that in training all the time. Or now I can go over to Bing, sign in with an org account, and have access to really another data set and be able to surface even more data out there. So I think that's a great story all around. And it sounds like there's been even some real kind of forethought and planning around search and delivery of results and timeliness of that. Especially with multi-geo support. And,
yes.
So now I can have a data, you know, user that has data sitting in Brazil and potentially North America. They're sitting in a data center in Des Moines, and now I can point them to the right one and still have federated search results across all those result sources and bring everything back, which I think is just wonderful.
Exactly. I've got to give a kudos on your show to our development team in Oslo. You know, they were originally part of the acquisition of Fast, and they're amazing. I mean, their vision and the work they put into not only the back end and performance, but also the front end with the user experience is really pretty amazing. And I think what they announced this week is great, and what I know is coming out next is amazing. Oh, speaking of which, you mentioned LinkedIn. And that was one of the aspects of search that we discussed, which is you have the ability to associate internal user profiles with LinkedIn profiles, which then allows me, if I have a meeting with let's say I have a meeting with Scott, I have the ability to see not only what his internal profile is, but what he had done in his past life, and what his interests and skills are. So it's going to allow me to come to a meeting better prepared and to get more out of the skills and expertise that people bring to the table. Yeah. That's pretty compelling. And of course, there's all kinds of controls. So, the user has to opt in, the organization opts in. And there's no real transfer of data. It's almost like you're associating an app with your LinkedIn account. It's very cool.
It's that knowledge is power. And I think some of that was in a couple more like the Teams sessions being a little more meeting driven. Mm-hmm. But so here's everything I need to know before a meeting. Mm-hmm. Here's everything I need to know and do during a meeting. Mm-hmm. And here's everything I need to know and do after a meeting. Yeah. So again, we're following that kind of full life cycle of being able to understand the entire process in plain and have it be transparent and out there for everybody to see.
Definitely.
Which hopefully just, continues to drive this collaborative environment forward even more.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I'm hoping customers leave Ignite understanding is all these things we're talking about, whether it's search, whether it's content services, whether it's business process automation, is all possible because enterprise data is all in one place. It's in Office 365. It's not in siloed, disconnected services. So we're able to weave together that content with the graph, with our intelligent security cloud to keep things secure, and with all of these collaboration canvases that create these amazing ways of interacting with that content. And in those situations where a customer does have data outside of Office 365 and Microsoft 365, we have connectors with Flow and APIs through Microsoft Graph that people can connect. But we're trying to give the most compelling experience with that content in Office 365.
Yeah, I love that story. I talk to clients all the time, and I have clients that they come from the on-prem world. They're used to having, they have their Exchange team, they have their Skype for Business team, they have their SharePoint team, and they're all those silos. Mm-hmm. And as I talk to them, I'm like, you guys need to get over that. It's like you said, it's turning into one holistic experience where it's, mm-hmm. you don't you still have some of that, but you have your Office 365 team. You have that, all of that enterprise data in one place that gives you just a really cool story about all the stuff you can do when it's all together like that.
It's amazingly liberating. I mean, just in the last 24 hours, I had one situation where I needed to get to a presentation that my boss was about to give, and all I had with me was my phone. And I didn't even know what he called it or where it was. And I was able to go on my phone, search for him, because I have access to the file at least. I was able to see it and get to it on my phone, get it into my OneDrive, and present it from my PowerPoint on mobile. And that was an amazing experience. And the other sort of magical thing that happens is the ability to get answers from people you never would have thought to ask. Technologies, whether it's something that I'm doing that surfaces to you, or whether it's me going into a tool like Yammer and talking in the open about something and getting input from people, you're like, oh, of course they would have had an idea, but I never would have thought of emailing them. This idea of working out in the open is really, really transformative. I think organizations who are still in silos on-prem don't know what they're missing. And as soon as they start experiencing these things, as a user of technology, I find it kind of magical.
Yeah, I think if there's one takeaway for customers, clients, really consumers of these services, so in the on-prem world, it's really easy to be siloed, and I'm in a single workload. I do mailboxes, mm-hmm. or I do Skype, or I do SharePoint. Typically, we're going to be in kind of one of those
That's exactly right.
For core workloads. But when we go up to tooling like Office 365, we need to think a little more holistically about how we deploy, how we operationalize, and how we enable the business to move forward. So I can't just license users for SharePoint anymore, because now if I need a Yammer license so I can see that Yammer web part that's added on our new intranet homepage, or Teams especially.
Right.
So I need to have access to Exchange and Skype and SharePoint and mm-hmm. potentially Planner and Power BI mm-hmm. and Yammer and my Trello boards out on the side.
Absolutely.
And all the other things. So I think it's great to have these conversations, because we talk a lot to an audience that is responsible for operations and deployment mm-hmm. and kind of doing the we call them like next or PowerShell and automation and scripting. But we're all consumers of these, these products. And you really need to understand holistically how they come together to enable them to move them forward. So when your boss comes to you and says, can we disable Exchange for everybody but leave SharePoint online and Skype running? Hopefully they can speak to that and say, well, that's kind of a bad idea, because they need that so they can get to this, and this later on down the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Is there anything else you want to leave us with, Dan, before we wrap up here?
I want to leave you with my thanks. I mean, the outreach that you guys provide and the way you help keep the community moving forward is invaluable to us as Microsoft. And, we're all in it together. When Satya says we're in it to empower everyone, we really are. And you guys are a big piece of that. So thank you. And thank you to all of your listeners for having faith in Microsoft and putting your trust in us. And we hope to help all of their organizations move forward as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you. We appreciate it.